So I wanted to start off today talking about, you know, this month's theme has really been relationship. And so I want to continue to go further into that discussion with you, talking about how do we make this really practical as an approach to self-realization. How do we make this teaching, this concept, all things exist in relationship, more livable, more practical, more applicable, perhaps, to our daily life? So let's start with the understanding that what we call, you know, natural law, universal laws, natural laws, are really just the result of relationships between the archetypal forces that govern the universe, right? The laws of gravity, the laws of thermodynamics, organic chemistry, electromagnetism, physics, biology, all of these complex systems, these natural laws, as we call them, are really just relationships, right, between archetypal forces. And so even if we just begin there with the conversation of everything is relationship, which means everything is one, we can begin from the very start of the universe, right? The very forces that govern the universe also show us relationship and giving and receiving, right? These forces work together to create these natural laws that we seemingly abide by forever, unbroken or unbreakable. You know, the law of gravity, unbreakable. The laws of physics, unbreakable. At least when these relationships are in place to govern them, yeah? So like, what is the physical reality that you experience in any way, but just a sort of staggering series of relationships? Again, starting with natural laws, working all the way down through, you know, relative laws and the systems we've created in society. And your whole life is governed by relationships, right? With your family, your friends, your boss, your coworkers, with the law, with municipal powers and whatnot. You're engaging in relationship all the time. So I don't think I need to do much more work to convince you that relationship is everything, and learning to see relationship is everything. Because now what we can realize, once we see the doubtless importance of relationship, is then we can say, well, if everything's about relationship, literally everything, every need I need to get met is about relationship, my success in life, my happiness in life, all dependent on how I am being in relationships. So if everything's relationship, then that means everything's about love, right? Because to win at relationships is to do what? To give and to receive, right? To love is how you win at any relationship. Be loving, you're going to have a winning outcome. No matter what, regardless, right? You're always going to have a winning outcome. Even if you love a person who's not yet capable of returning that love to you, they'll learn a powerful lesson from your love, and you'll reinforce the strength of your love by giving without needing to receive, right? Selfless loving of someone else. So you're still winning even in those relationships, yeah? So if everything is about relationship, then everything's about love. So what I want to be our takeaway from this short conversation this morning, it's not actually that tough to glimpse oneness, if we're being honest. You know, just a little bit of passion, a little bit of seeking and striving towards this awareness, and you're gonna have a glimpse of it pretty quick, right? The problem is not glimpsing oneness so much, although that's an important step, but it's not so much the hard part of the path. The hard part is staying in that oneness, right? We have difficulty not really glimpsing oneness, but staying in that awareness. And how can we do that? How can we stay in that awareness? We can do that by staying in loving relationships with everything, right? As we've said, the real purpose of enlightenment, or the real outcome of enlightenment, is making all relationships loving. And again, why do we have to do this? Because we can't remain in the awareness of oneness while we're having unloving relationships. Whatever we learn and discover in oneness or about oneness, we can only keep that by sharing it, right? Whatever is discovered in unity must be shared in unity. Why? Because that's the nature of oneness. It's giving and receiving, right? So one of our problems is that we, when we glimpse oneness, our mind sort of tries to keep it for itself. It tries to claim it as a state or achievement, right? And it sort of says like, yes, I've seen oneness. Now I might actually get enlightened and be free of suffering. Yes, yes, this is my moment where it's gonna happen. And the mind, even in the middle of that experience, sometimes we can hear the mind saying those things, right? And so then lo and behold, the oneness state wears off very quickly. The bliss wears off very quickly. The realization dwindles back down and we're back in separation consciousness again going, oh man, how do I get back there? So we can circumvent this process of the ego kicking us out of that state every time by practicing grounding ourselves in it by making all relationships loving. If our focus is to be in loving relationship to everything, not just with our boss, our spouse, our kids, our friends, but even our own mind, right? You're in a relationship to your own mind right now. Some of you are still in a kind of abusive relationship with your mind. Some of you are letting your mind be very abusive to you and you're not standing up for yourself. Or some of you are being very abusive towards your mind with guilt and shame and condemnation. But either way, you're either in a loving relationship with your mind or an unloving one. And so big wonder why you can't stay in a oneness state very long if you're then going off and engaging in unloving relationships still. That's anti-oneness, that's counter to oneness. So of course you're not gonna abide in that state of oneness. You have to practice it. I call it practicing oneness. Practicing oneness is getting yourself into that awareness as often as possible. And we've talked a lot about this on past calls of, you know, how long does it actually take you to just close your eyes, remember the truth of oneness, and then just sort of feel that truth happening within you. It could show up in many different flavors, right? It could just be a little subtle piece of, ah, that's right, all is well. Or it might be an absolute ecstatic state. Anywhere in between that, you should be able to feel the truth of oneness when you place your attention on oneness. And that's a practice in and of itself, but that's the masculine, right? That's how we penetrate into the state of oneness, but then ego is gonna throw us out really quick because it's gonna try to get us back into our unloving relationship towards life. So once we get into that state through the masculine, we can stay in that state. We can embody that state. We can abide in that state through the feminine. You see that? The feminine is what grounds us into something, what helps us to integrate or embody it, right? So a lot of our trouble is that we get, again, obsessed with non-duality, obsessed with knowledge and concepts, and we're contemplating all the time, trying to get our mind into a oneness state and just battling with it because it wants to kick us out as soon as we get into one. And we can waste many years on the spiritual path taking realization from that approach until we realize the absolute paramount importance of love and service to others. You'll never stay in that state. Sorry, you're still too separate from everything. It's not just an understanding in the mind, it has to be an embodiment in the heart. How often have you had oneness experiences or little glimpses of that state and you came out of it immediately just wanting to go be of service to someone, you know, wanting to go love someone and get beyond yourself? If we're being honest, usually we don't have that reaction, right? Usually it's more of the internalizing of, oh, this is mine, I'm gonna get it, this is my moment to get it. And then it wears off and we go, oh, bummer, now I'm back in the mind again. It's still all about me, right? Well, truly the glimpse of oneness should instill in you a burning desire to go serve. Why? Why do you want to go serve? Why do you want to go love others and give when you see oneness? Because your heart has remembered the truth. The truth of oneness is that all is well, I need nothing, I possess everything. And so when my cup is just overflowing, when the cup of my heart is overflowing with this divine love, the natural reaction to that is to want to go give it. In the same way that the natural reaction to, let's say you had too much caffeine and you slept really good and you're like, whoops, kind of overdid it on the caffeine, and you're kind of like jittery, the natural response to having a lot of energy in your body is to want to go move that energy. So you're like, I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to go do some yoga or whatever to burn off all this energy pent up. You don't have to try to want to move energy. You just want to, right? It's the natural reaction to having too much energy. So in the same exact way, you guys, the natural response in you to having too much love, to having too much abundance, is that you want to go give it. You want to go move that energy to others. And that's the gravity, so to speak, that love brings, is that you actually keep it by sharing it. You increase it by giving it. It's a paradox. This was something that Jesus clearly knew and taught to his disciples. He said, go and preach the good news to all people, baptize them and heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers, preach this good news all over the world. And so his disciples went on to carry his message. And this was a clever, you know, guru move to his disciples to get them to really embody this message that Jesus was teaching, and to be the message and to carry it on is to go teach it, right? Because what we give, what we share, what we teach is what we learn and keep and activate in ourselves. So when Jesus told his disciples to go preach his message to the whole world, he knew he was going to activate it in them. And what do we see in the book of Acts? It says all these disciples after Jesus left were all healing the sick, all casting out demons, all raising the dead. There's passages that talk about, I think it's Peter and John would walk past cripples on the street, and literally just the shadow passing over the cripple would heal them. So we have all these passages about the way that the disciples got activated in Christ consciousness by teaching it. That is what we are called to do as well. By giving this love, by giving this awareness of oneness to others, we're trying to remind them of oneness, right? By loving them and serving them. When we get beyond ourselves to bless someone else, what we're really doing is helping them to remember they're one. We're teaching them oneness by giving it to them. So we don't need more concepts. We don't need more spiritual knowledge. We have plenty of it. We have plenty of it. But yet, why are many of us still suffering so greatly if we know these things? It's because they're not quite established in us yet, yeah? So what we're in need of is practicing oneness. What we're in need of is practicing presence, practicing the embodiment of love. And we practice abiding in that awareness by making all relationships loving. So it's like, I can't make this any easier for you guys. Is this simple enough for everyone? This understanding of how we embody oneness and establish it permanently? Just focus on your relationships, be loving everywhere, loving in every relationship. It's really just one thing you have to do, but you have to do it everywhere. And that's the trick. So when you feel any one of those three negative emotions, sadness, anger, or fear, you know that there's an unloving relationship happening in the mind somewhere. That's the, you know, big difference in the ego's thought system versus God's thought system. In unity, in oneness, it's always giving and receiving. Those are the only two actions that ever take place in unity. But in separation, the only thing that happens is taking and keeping, or withholding, right? Not giving. Ego wants to take from others. You know, taking says, I can take what I'm lacking from someone else. So the ego borrows from the whole to serve the part, or it steals from the whole to serve the part. And then it tries to keep what it steals to itself. Keeping is the voice that says, well, there might be lack in the future, so I got to keep this to myself. I can't afford to share this. Why? Because I might run out of it, and then I'll really be lacking. So you see how that belief system is so contrary to oneness and unity and relationship. in the relationship are all needs met if the relationship is loving, because love is giving and receiving. So giving says, I have so much abundance, I have to give it away. There's literally too much love in my heart. that's the attitude behind true giving, right? Like when you give, when you serve someone without any need for them to even know about it, right? If no one knew you just tipped that guy $100, you could care less, right? The thought of blessing him is all that you care about. The actual experience of joy you get when you think about his life being easier today because I blessed him with a good tip. That's true giving. That's true selfless service. And we always know because it has that flavor of joy, of abundance to it. And then receiving says, I don't need to keep anything for myself because I'm always receiving. You don't need to take anything if you're always receiving from abundance. So these thought systems are in mutual opposition to each other, right? Ego is taking and keeping. Oneness is giving and receiving. And the Course says giving and receiving are the same thing, right? You can't ever truly give without receiving polarization, more heart opening, more joy, more love, more peace. And with more love in your consciousness, it becomes a great stillness. Love brings a great stillness to the mind because it gives it the safety, right, and security of love, of that relationship, that all your needs will be met. You need not fear for anything. As Jesus said, even the birds of the air don't fear for what, where their next meal is coming from, and your heavenly Father feeds them all. So why should you worry? Ego consciousness is all about survival. Inherently, it always just goes back to the need to survive, the fear of death, escaping the fear of death. And so that's where the taking and keeping comes from. It's really just a survival action of the mind. So innocent in itself, but the only mode of unity is not surviving, but living. And there's a big difference between just surviving and living. We suffer because we've lived in survival consciousness, right? Ego consciousness, where's my next pleasure gonna come from? Where's my next need gonna be met? That's all I need to know. The next thing. That's survival consciousness. And you're just living in the root chakra most of your life, right? Trying to constantly pacify this endless fear of your annihilation. So when we step into unity, we start really living for the first time. So survival is taking and keeping. Living is giving and receiving. Life is giving and receiving, right? We said God is service to life and life is service to God. Giving and receiving. For example, a star cannot be a star until it starts radiating, right? What would a star be that didn't radiate any light? We call that a black hole. So a star can't truly be a star unless it radiates, giving off its light, shining its light in all directions unconditionally. That's when we go, wow, look at that star in the sky. It's beautiful. So likewise, you cannot be what you truly are until you start radiating. Until you truly become a being that radiates love and service to others, you can't be what you really are. You can't realize your true divinity until you do that. You're just like the star that has to shine. So you must move out of surviving and into living, which means out of taking and keeping and into giving and receiving. Scan your consciousness in any moment, right? When sadness, anger, fear come in and say, what am I looking to take from life right now? What does this sadness want me to take from life? What does this anger want me to take from life? What does this fear want me to take from life? It wants me to take some control. It wants me to take a positive outcome. It wants me to take something I'm lacking. Take, me. When you notice that that's happening in the mind, we just, like a flip, we just switch it back to oneness, back to giving and receiving. Oh, no. My problem's not that I need to take something. My problem is I'm not giving something. What is it I think I'm lacking? Just start giving that. Either give it to someone else or give it to yourself or both. But just give it in some way. And you'll start activating that vibration within you. So you wanna put a huge demand on Kundalini to awaken? That's how you do it. Make all relationships loving. be in the mode of giving and receiving. And I promise you, Kundalini is going to have no choice but to start that engine, because Kundalini is the energy of love. It is green ray energy, heart chakra energy. So when you put a demand on your heart chakra by being in that mode of loving and giving, sharing, service, Kundalini has to activate regardless of your yoga practices, regardless of your breathwork or meditation. That will do it in and of itself. And that's the, you know, the bhakti element that we stress a lot here in 4D University. This is how we really raise our SQ. This is how we really embody the truths that we're learning, is that we practice them by practicing oneness, practicing giving and receiving, service to others, as the Law of One calls it. It really is the golden ticket. And the farther down my own spiritual path I walk, the more I realize how important it is. The more I look back and say, man, I was really overlooking the importance of this whole service to others thing for most of my journey. And I could have expedited this journey if I'd started this a while back. You know, so start it as soon as you can. Don't wait till you get through 5 years of studying non-duality to start, you know, practicing giving and receiving.